Today's guest was told at a very young age by a family member that they just didn't have good genes. She was not smart enough to ever become educated. It wasn't until later in life that she realized that she was dyslexic, not dumb. Today, Dr. Joyce Martello holds a PhD in depth psychology, and she serves her community by bringing attention to the kind of complex trauma children born and raised in cults often suffer. Let's listen to learn a bit more about Dr. Martella's journey. Welcome to Doc Talk, where we discuss all things doctoral. Been there, done that? Then we want to hear from you. Want to be there? Want to do that? Then this is the place to be. Still trying to figure it all out? Yeah, so am I. So come on, let's do this. Let's venture beyond a master's. I'm really excited to have you on this morning, Dr. Martella. And it's just kind of neat. I feel like I already know you. And I think that's simply because we've been in the podcast Dave's under his tutelage for a couple months now.
Yeah.
How neat. It's really neat. So I feel a connection with you even before we hopped on this morning.
Oh, great.
So listen, I want to start by first sharing with our listeners that you have your PhD in depth psychology.
And that's correct.
You know, I wanted, before our call ends, I do want to visit with you about a little bit about your unique story and give listeners an opportunity to find out how they can, you know, get in touch with you or learn more about what you do in your work, because your story is so unique and so compelling. And I just, after talking to you for a little bit, I realize that there is a connection between you and your personal history and the degree that you earned and what you decided to study. So can you tell us, what is depth psychology and how can one go about earning a degree in that?
Well, depth psychology is a little bit different than what you would find in the mainstream psychology, like in mainstream universities and schools. All of psychology is about understanding why people do the things they do. That's the simplest way to put it. That's a study of people and why they do what they do. And mainstream psychology, they deal with the body and the mind. So the idea is that how you're born, your genetic makeup is going to have an impact on you. We do know that people in families have mental health issues. So there is a genetic component to why we do the things we do. There is how you were raised, your environment. So those things that are that you're affected by around you, such as your family. How, you know, were you in an abusive family? Were you in a nurturing family? That's going to have an effect on who you are and why you do the things you do. And then your mind, how you think, how you're raised to think, how you're taught to process information, your abilities to process information. Again, there's a genetic component to that. Not totally, but there is. We do understand that, people who have different disabilities and things like that may not process information the same way as others do. And so that's going to have an impact on you. And then depth psychology takes it to a whole new level. And they look at that there's another component. And it was Carl Jung who actually brought this on. Carl Jung studied under Freud.
The Jungian theorist? Where the Jungian theory comes from. Okay.
Exactly. So Carl Jung studied under Freud. Interesting thing about both Freud and Carl Jung is they both had ministers for fathers.
Okay.
Freud really turned away from anything spiritual. It, you know, just that his whole philosophy is just your mind and your body. And you know, environment, but that's it. There's no spirit, soul. And with Jung, he even though he did not agree with his father and everything that his father said, he still believed that there was something else. There was something deeper. There was something more. So he actually did a lot of traveling all over the world. And there were some things that he found that whether you went to a small village in the Amazon or you were in a big city, that cultures all share something. And one of them is archetypes. So the archetype of the mother, the warrior, the trickster, the healer, and that every one of us is able to tap into those archetypes. And I'm putting this very simply. Okay?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that because.
And so.
Appreciate you breaking it down. Breaking it down.
Yeah. And so Jung also said that there's this other piece, which is the soul. But he didn't just say your own soul, such as every person has a soul, but he also said that there's another picture. So you could look at the soul of the family. You could look at the soul of your community. You could look at the soul of your nation. You can look at the soul of the world.
So we've got so far to make sure I'm tracking. So we've got this kind of this nurture and nature component to us. Some things are in us. Some things are developed because of our environments. And then along this Jung's I guess theories.
Yes.
The theory is that a collective can have, is also a kind of an organism, a living, breathing something with
the yes.
soul. Okay.
Yes. And I think the best way to explain this, the way most people today have experienced something like this, is when 9/11 happened, it was as if there was a massive injury to our nation's soul. And we all felt it, whether you were in New York or California or Alaska or Hawaii, our nation's soul was wounded. And we all felt it. And there was a coming together like we had not seen for a long time,
right,
where people were kind and gentle and caring, and everybody felt the same pain. Whether you lost someone there or not, you felt the wounding of our nation. But it was even bigger than that, because other nations felt our wound also.
Okay, yeah.
They mourned with us. So it was not just a wounding of our nation, it was a wounding of the world's soul. And people all over the world felt it. And mourned with us and prayed for us because they felt it too, because this was such a big thing that it was felt all over. And so that would be one way of looking at how it's not an individual thing. It's not a mind thing or a body thing. It's not just an environmental thing. That was a soul thing.
Okay.
So that's kind of how you can look at it.
And the depth portion of the psychology, is that in reference to specifically the soul, looking deeper at the soul of a person, or
part
the soul
of, that,
of a collective?
Yeah, and it's also looking at the unconscious.
Ah, okay.
So the idea that the idea that you're looking, okay, so one of the things that we look at is why we do the things we do is the unconscious. People are not always totally aware of why they're reacting or doing what they're doing. So people with trauma, extensive trauma, complex trauma, can have triggers and reactions, and they don't even know why they're reacting. So they can hear a word, see something, and all of a sudden have a visceral reaction where their body is shaking, where they feel afraid, where they're uneasy. They just don't even understand why, what just happened. And they just got a trauma was triggered, but it's in their unconscious. So they don't understand why they're having the physical reaction to this thing that just happened that may seem like totally a non-starter, right? You know, be a word they hear. And so having that reaction, they're not conscious. So one of the things with depth psychology, it's about bringing the unconscious to the conscious so you can deal with it. And that's something with trauma that is so necessary.
And because, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, finish up, because I'm going to ask you a question that will kind of lead us in a different, another direction. Yeah, finish that thought.
So the idea that when you're dealing with trauma, we do understand that people suppress their trauma. They, you know, their own mind actually sometimes will block off the memories of their trauma so they can heal. We know this happens with someone who had a car accident. You ask them, well, what do you remember? And they say, well, the last thing I remember was these bright lights. And they don't remember the truck crashing into them. They don't remember the ambulance coming. They don't remember being pulled out. The next thing they remember is waking up in the hospital. That is the mind's way of protecting them so that they can, you know, the body can heal. So instead of keeping them in this hyper state, having these memories can, you know, keep coming. They actually, the mind actually protects them. Well, and that's good. But then at some point, it doesn't become a protection. It becomes a hindrance from healing.
Oh, okay.
So when you talk about depth psychology, one of the things is learning how to bring the unconscious to the conscious so that we can actually deal with it. And there's a lot of different reasons why things stay in the unconscious. When we dream, that is our unconscious trying to bring something to our conscious, especially if we remember the dream. Dreams can be kind of crazy, you know, like,
right.
It's weird. Where did that come from? But people who actually look at dreams and study dreams, they see how, you know, when they will ask you questions about, well, what does this mean to you? And what does that mean to you? All of a sudden, your dream, you realize, was trying to bring something from your unconscious to your conscious. So it was doing it the best way it could.
Okay. Yeah, that's, pardon the pun, but that's deep, right?
Exactly.
So Dr. Martello, tell us where you studied and where this passion for this particular type of program came from.
I studied at Pacifica Graduate Institute. That's near Santa Barbara in California.
And was that something you did online, or did you do it in person? Where, what could someone expect from Pacifica?
I lived in San Diego when I went, but I have to tell you that people from all over the world go to Pacifica Graduate Institute. We had students from Australia. We had students from England. And there were other places too. I can't think of all the different places. And then people all over the United States. In this particular school, once a month, you would go for 3 days. And it was three very intense days. And so if you could go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and, you know, you'd be there basically all day Monday, all day Tuesday, and then Wednesday, you'd leave at 5. So you spent the night there, you stayed there. And the really good thing about that is you develop some really strong relationships with the people in your cohort.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Doing some really deep work. That's important.
I can imagine the those relationships kind of help you get through, because you're all going, the cohorts going through things at the same time, maybe encountering some of the same struggles along the way.
Yes.
So yeah, that intensive time that you spend together could prove to be invaluable, I'm sure.
Yes. And then you 1 week in the summer, you're there for a whole week. And other than that, everything you're doing is you're writing a lot of papers, books, and you write a lot of papers.
Wow. So this passion you have for this topic, is it something that you've always been passionate about pursuing? Quite frankly, like I kind of let on, or maybe even said explicitly at the beginning, I was not familiar with the term depth psychology before meeting you. So it's new to me, and I'm sure there are folks out there who realize, wow, this sounds like something I'd be really interested in, but maybe in this moment I didn't even know it existed. Go ahead.
My husband had found the school, and so I knew about it, but the other part was I had been going to, you know, what would be a traditional college, and I was going to National University, so I was doing it while I was working, so I'd go nights and weekends. That was my schedule, and but it was traditional, as in the teachers were pretty traditional, and I had an encounter with one who basically told all of us that there is no afterlife, there is no soul, there is no spirit, there is only your mind and your body.
And you said you encountered one. Who is the one? Who did you encounter?
He was a professor.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And he was teaching us one of our psychology classes. And it was very disturbing to me that this was his approach. And most traditional psychology does not talk about the spirit, the soul, that there's anything other than the mind and the body. And that was incongruent with my own beliefs. It was incongruent with my life. And I needed to find a school that would more resonate and represent what I believe to be true.
So at National University, did you kind of start your doctoral program there, or was this for a master's?
I did my Bachelor of Arts.
Oh, okay. All right.
And so when I went into my master's program, I did my master's in counseling, and I did that at Pacifica Graduate Institute. And then after I completed my thesis and I graduated, I basically went right into my doctoral program.
Wow. So did you have any folks, you mentioned that people from all over the world attend Pacifica. Did you have people who were international, that were they also expected to show up for those 3 days a week?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you kind of need to be.
Fly in.
Wow. Wow, it sounds, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of, I'm an Army reservist, and it reminds me of the travel. I'm a reservist now, so not actively serving. I'm actively serving, but in a different capacity than I used to.
I understand. my son-in-law was a reservist, so I understand.
Okay, yeah, so it kind of reminds me of that when you've got folks who have to fly in for or drive 5 hours to show up to something 1 weekend a month.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So this passion that you have, is it something that you've always had, or this passion for this sort of thing? How did you arrive here?
That I got my Associate of Arts degree I was pregnant with my son. And so I was 21 when I did that. And I did that in early child development and so with an emphasis in social work. I did not go back to school until my son graduated high school. That's when I did my Bachelor of Arts. And when I started, I knew that I would probably go towards counseling. And that's kind of where I was directed. And so that's why I did behavioral science. And for me, it actually became a process for me to heal my own wounds. When I was in my Bachelor of Arts program, that's when I really came to understand that the cult that I was born and raised in was my culture.
Okay, what do they say? Hold the phone. Hold on. You said the cult that you were born and raised in.
Yes.
Would you be willing to tell us more about that?
Sure.
Okay. Please do. Because I'm starting to see perhaps where this interest may have come from. I'll keep listening.
This is your host, Allison Marchin, and I'm so glad you were here. And I'm looking forward to the next time. Let's do this again.